ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 2 Text 16, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Susrusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchihi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanat. Translation. Oh, twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. You can all understand that. It's somewhat arcane language, can be understood by those who have a background in all of this, in these subject matters. Oh, twice-born sages! Most people would, if you say this, they wouldn't know what that means. One gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So you all know who is Vasudeva. At least you know Vasudeva means Sarvam. Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva Sarvam. We know from Bhagavad Gita. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. But yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is advanced knowledge of the Personality of Godhead and all topics concerning Him. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the science, scientific knowledge of the Personality of Godhead. So it is somewhat, even though Srila Prabhupada has rendered it quite in easy English language, but the subject matter itself is arcane. Arcane means esoteric. It means it can't be understood by everyone, by those in an inside group. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance in life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. Oh yeah. So they don't want to know about Krishna, so they get sent to a life form where there's no possibility of having knowledge of Krishna, the lower life forms. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord, but none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or His incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Susrusho shadadhanasya vasudeva katha ruchihi Syanma hat sevayavi praf punya tirta nishevanat. The Srimad Bhagavatam teaches topics of God. The word God is used in this purport. I didn't count. I would think at least 10 times, 15 times. And that is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aradhyo Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the person who is to be worshipped. Here within Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself when he is describing to his dear devotee Uddhava the process of worshipping himself. And it's given in quite some detail. At least all the different processes, many of the different processes are mentioned. And one of the things he states, of course, the first process of worship, that means puja, puja vidhi. I mean, puja, the word puja, well-known word in all Indian languages. So Krishna says, Mad bhakta puja vyadika. More important than worship of myself is worship of my devotee. And this is a particular feature of the Vaishnava system of religion, is that the devotees are worshipped on a level with the Supreme Lord. In one sense. Why? Because he himself likes that. And because the devotees in this world, specifically Srila Prabhupada, has translated, although it's not specifically stated in the Sanskrit of the verse, but Srila Prabhupada has made it clear in his translation, serving, here is mentioned service, not in particular worship, of devotees who are completely freed from all vice, pure devotees. Devotees are pure in all respects. And in the first paragraph of the three paragraphs of this purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks of those devotees who come to rectify the very sinful people of this world and bring them to Krishna. So they are worshipable. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of something he grew up with. That he was born in British India, So the British administration in India was headed by the Viceroy, which means the representative of the Queen when Prabhupada was born, and then the King after them. The King is dead, long live the King. There's a saying in English, the King is dead, long live the King. In other words, one king died and another king came in. So that Viceroy was known to represent the king and was treated as if the king, with all pomp and regalia. Maybe actually more in India than in England, because in India you can have parades with elephants. You could do in England, but not so many elephants in England. They have to be imported. As in India at that time, there were many, many, many elephants and many people to join the military parades and salutes. So Srila Prabhupada gave the example. The Viceroy is given so much respect, it's understood that he's not the king, but because he represents the king, the honor, the same honor is given to him. And if the Viceroy tries to usurp the position of the king, then he'll be out. The actual power lies with the king. But because he's trusted to faithfully represent the king, then he should be respected, and that respect, it's understood, goes to the king. So in the same way, the great devotees of the Lord are to be respected. They're saying respected and worshipped. In Islam, of course, they say that only Allah is to be worshipped. You shouldn't worship anyone else. But then, of course, they respect. They have respect for, just like here in India, most Muslims have a lot of respect for Dr. Zakir Naik. They highly respect him, is it not? They don't worship him. That would be considered very wrong, to worship him. But actually, in Sanskrit, the word puja means both respect and worship. Formal worship. Yeah, the formal worship, that's a formality, and respect, you can also say that puja in the sense of respect. Similarly, the word ninda covers the English word criticism, adverse criticism, and blasphemy. Both words are covered by ninda. Blasphemy means to criticize that which should not be criticized, especially that which is sacred. And criticism is usually used to mean pointing out the bad qualities in someone, which is not so severe. But the same word covers both. So in Vedic culture, there are all kinds of beings to be worshipped, beginning with one's own mother, beginning with the mother. First guru is the mother. And until recently, as you could say about so many aspects of Vedic culture, it was the normal thing that people, the first thing in the morning, they would literally bow down to their parents. And they're living with their, they're living in the same house, they're married, they have their own children, but they'll come before, the man and his wife will come before his parents and bow down every morning. I don't think that goes much in Bangalore anymore. In Punjab, it's probably still going on. They still do that in Punjab, is it? They're very strong on that aspect of culture. So why is that? We shouldn't bow down before anyone except Allah. But the parents are seen as the representative of God. That's why. And everywhere. He's seen everywhere, even the sky, the moon. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So everything's a representative of Krishna, and we offer respect to the sun. That's also part of Vedic culture, which was very widely followed. People, first thing you see the sun in the morning, you offer prayers to the sun. We do also, but in a Krishnaized way. Yats chakshur esha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura murti rashesha tejaha yats yagaya brahmati sambhrita kala chakra govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. When you first see the sun in the day, you can offer this prayer. If you see in the rainy season, or if you see through all these buildings, well, at least in India, they don't have high-rise buildings that completely block out all the light. So yeah, you can pray like that to the sun. It's actually a prayer to Govinda, but recognizing the great power of the sun as a representative of Govinda. So Vedic culture, it worships all representatives of God, but the proper understanding is there is the supreme and there are others who are representatives. The misunderstanding is that all are equal representatives of the same God, and that God, therefore, there is no supreme. And then it comes to Mayavad. Everything is one, all is one, and that means there's... You worship everything, but that means you don't offer proper respect to the supreme. So no doubt within Islam the idea is to guard against that. Only worship Allah. And of course there is a great danger in people, humans, taking the position of being worshipped, because it can be intoxicating to the ego. So it can be understood from that point of view. But at the same time, to not recognize, on one hand, to overemphasize and say that, just as Srila Prabhupada points out here, there are many people who claim themselves to be God. Well, that's blasphemous. But on the other, so to overemphasize someone, or overestimate or overstate their godliness, is a crime against God. But to underestimate it is also. Just like there's this Ritvik idea that there's Prabhupada and there's all the acharyas before him, and we don't recognize anyone as being, what's that? Some phone is going off. We don't recognize anyone as being to the level that they can be worshipped as a Vaishnava. I wonder what, when they read this, what do they say? That what was their idea? That all the Vaishnavism stopped with Prabhupada. And when he refers to Vaishnavas, it means all the Vaishnavas up to Prabhupada, and then it stopped. So up to Prabhupada's great contribution was he came to the world and preached Krishna consciousness, but he couldn't make any Vaishnavas, or only neophytes, or no one should be worshipped. Well, Srila Prabhupada addresses that issue several times in his teachings, that people may see, well, what is this guru? Someone comes up to his guru, and then his little child comes up to him and says, "Hey, Papa!" and pokes him on the leg. You know, how can that be God when his child is just treating him like an ordinary man? And in the village, his friends say, "Ah, how are you doing? Kaise ho, kaise chalte ho?" Just treat him like an ordinary man. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out, he may be seen like that by others, but the disciple has to see him as God. That is the proper etiquette. And the Vaishnavas, they are to be worshipped. There's a central point of Vaishnava teachings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted from the Ramanuja Sampradaya this teaching that worshipping the Vaishnavas, how much importance they stress on that. So you can't avoid it. It's something like this example Srila Prabhupada gives about the Mayavadis. If you have a pain in your eye, then the thing to do is cure it. Another thing to do is cut it out. So it's like Mayavad. We see this world is miserable with all varieties, therefore say no variety, nothing. Just go to nothingness. So in the same way, if you say, well, there are so many problems in Vaishnava society, and therefore we won't worship anyone. If you don't worship any Vaishnavas, then you won't be cheated by any Vaishnavas. That's true. Cheated by anyone in the name of Vaishnavism. But you also won't get the benefit of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. If your main outlook is simply to see that, no, something wrong with him, something wrong with him, something wrong. If the philosophy is that, so-called philosophy is that all the Vaishnavas must be wrong, especially anyone who takes any leading role, or especially anyone who initiates others, then, okay, the first thing you have to do is look for all their faults. And if you find one, and if you're looking for them, they're not hard to find, then, you see, not completely freed from vice. Okay, reject. They're going to hell forever. Our very kind Ritvik friends tell us that we're going to hell forever. They may be happy. I think maybe they got that from Islam or Christianity or something. We get thrown into the darkest. Well, they'll quote Isha Upanishad. Anyway, it's really anti-devotional, isn't it? What do you get from that? Do you get the devotional feeling? You must run across them all the time here in Bangalore. It's anti-devotional. Devotional spirit is nourished by faith in the Vaishnavas, not by criticizing them. So I'm not saying they're all bad. No doubt there are so many good people but they're getting hoodwinked. They're getting misled. We shouldn't accept pretenders, and at the same time we shouldn't presume that everyone is a pretender except me, because everyone else is wrong and I'm the only Vaishnava. That's what it comes to. And then that comes to Acharyam eva haraye pujas yah shradhaye hate shradhaye na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smita. That's the neophyte level of devotion, in which one accepts God and one worships the deity, but he doesn't recognize other devotees. It's mentioned right there by Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, doesn't care for anyone else. And without that devotional spirit, then practically we see what's happening is that in the name of bhakti commercialization, we hear it. It's not just from ourselves. We could say we've got a bone to pick with them, but we hear it from ordinary members of the public also, who go and they say, oh, why is that telling me? It's all just commercial. They can feel. So we ourselves should be very careful not to, as living in this world to preach Krishna consciousness, we also have to deal with money. We have to be very careful not to become money conscious, to become Krishna conscious, to understand that money belongs to Krishna. Everything should be engaged in the service of Krishna only, nothing else. So we recognize the Vaishnavas. And a problem with saying that we only worship Allah, or we only recognize Prabhupada as the only or the last guru, there's a problem with that. It doesn't work practically, because it's the nature of humans to glorify others, to glorify and to reject. If we only reject and don't glorify others, that's tamago. we come down to the very low level of consciousness where we only see good things. There's a story in the Bible, the Good Samaritan. Samaritan means someone from, any biblical scholars here? Samara? No, that's in Russia. Samaria, maybe. So it seems that the idea of the Jewish people, that Jesus told the story of someone, one man was injured and sick, and then some Samaritan, means someone from a certain place, he came and he looked after him and helped him to get well. So Jesus is making the point here that, if anyone's good, it doesn't matter what background they're from, they're good. So it appears that the Samaritan people were considered very bad by the Jews. So the tendency to just consider, in Tamil Nadu, there may be, especially among the farmers, those Karnatakas, they're all bad because they took all our water. And here in Karnataka or Bangalore, those Tamil people, they want to take all our water. So there may be some rivalry like that. Or Pakistan, from Pakistan must be bad. Actually, Indian people don't think like that. On a one-to-one level, when they meet each other overseas, they're all very friendly. But politicians, they have to keep the rivalry going. But anyway, that tendency to blaspheme and the tendency to glorify others. Just a few days ago, I spoke about an experience I had some years ago on a train somewhere here in South India, in which some young men from Pakistan were glorifying to the people they'd met in the train from India. They were glorifying Imran Khan and going on and on and on, glorifying. Oh, so great. They were speaking in Urdu, Hindi, listen, he's a superman. And they were glorifying him like anything. They weren't glorifying Allah. So that tendency is Imran Khan for Gopalacharya is looking like he doesn't know who Imran, you don't know who Imran Khan is, 90% of your life is wasted. He was a cricketer. He was maybe the greatest cricketer of his generation. I don't know. I think at the same time Kapila Dev was active, was it? Yeah. See, I know so many things. I'm a superman. So Imran Khan, and they were glorifying him. And what was they weren't glorifying? They weren't glorifying Allah. So that tendency is there to glorify others. God is worshipable, Aradhyo Bhagavan. But it is our natural tendency to glorify others. So why not glorify the Vaishnavas instead of the cricketers? Makes sense, doesn't it? Why not glorify? And they do also, just like I say, they glorify Zaki and Nayak, and at least in Shia or Sufi Islam, they glorify the peers. In Bangladesh, there are so many peers, worship of peers, which mean it's actually like a guru. It's just like a guru. So many people in East Bengal became Muslims, and the whole culture of having spiritual gurus is there. So they just transferred it in Islam. They call them peers, and they worship their samadhis. You got darga, they call their samadhi. Huh? Fakir, yeah, maybe. In Ajmer, there's a famous, and there's a train direct, or not train, from Howrah to Ajmer every day. And you know who's in that train mostly? Bangladeshi Muslims. They're going there to visit the dargah of, in Indian languages we call it a samadhi. They go there to pray, and then some other Muslims or whatever, they had an attack there once because they say it's anti-Islamic to worship them. and so on and so on. But the tendency is very difficult to quash, that tendency to worship others. And now the World Cup soccer is going on, and that's a big thing, not in India, but in the football fanatical culture where I come from. It used to be a major day of mourning when the England football team lost, but it happened so many times that I guess they, I don't know, I don't live there, but the whole nation's in a state of depression because their football team never wins anything. So they'd love it if their team won, but they don't. So what can you do? But that tendency is there to glorify others. That's the point I'm making. And here in India, probably more than any other country of the world, there is one Jew who is highly glorified. I'm not talking about Jesus. Can anyone think? Quiz. Albert Einstein. Highly respected, because the people in India have great respect for science. So Albert, throughout the world, he's a highly respected name. I believe that Time magazine, they voted him as man of the century. Yeah, for the last century, Albert Einstein, so highly respected. But where's devotees or aspiring devotees? We don't give. Another person in Maya, very intelligently in Maya, but actually not very intelligent, because he directed his intelligence to things which are not of ultimate importance. How this world is running on. Oh, we already have the answer. It's right there in Bhagavad Gita. Maya dakshena prakriti. There you go. That's it. There you go. There's your PhD in science. Krishna is overseeing the whole material nature. Suyate brings into being. Suyate, just like prasuti. You have the prasuti gara, the maternity hospital. Suyate sacharaja. I oversee material nature and bring into being, everything's moving, non-being, there you go, that's whole. And whether E equals MC squared or MC cubed or whatever, you could have some scientific fantasy. What would the world be like if E equals MC cubed? How would it all work out? But it's a waste of time. Because life is short. And instead of studying this material nature, we can surrender to Krishna and get out of this material nature. Whether E equals MC squared or cubed, whatever, it's dukale amashashvatam. This material world is miserable. Everything here is temporary. Therefore, yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramamama. We should go to that place from which there is no return, the abode of Krishna. So, understanding this, doesn't it make a lot more sense to worship Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas who... You should all be worshipped. The people of Bangalore should come and bow down to you. Because you're giving knowledge of Krishna. So, you're doing more for human society than millions of Albert Einsteins could do, because he doesn't know how to benefit others properly. Millions of Mother Teresas with millions and trillions of bandages, they can't help human society in the way that Vaishnavas can, because they help them in the best possible way. Again, that example is there. Someone is drowning, and someone bravely swims out, catches a hold of their coat, snatches it, and comes back and says, I saved the coat. Yeah, but they're supposed to save the person. The person, what's the person? The body. So, we're looking after the body, but not the soul and the body. The bird in the cage, another example. If you keep the cage very nice and clean, but you don't look after the bird and don't feed the bird, that's foolishness. So in the same way, if we look after the body, but we don't look after the soul, that is foolishness. So Albert Einstein, Dalai Lama, Imran Khan, whoever else you may think is a great person in this world, they're worshipped by others. Worshipped or almost, highly respected. But they're not really worth worshipping. We don't give any special importance to them. If we meet such people, of course we're not likely to meet Albert Einstein. What's that fly there? Flying around, there's a fly rider. Is it Albert Einstein? Could be. He's investigating the, doing an experiment on the motion of houseflies. You never know. Where is he now? We can't say. So all these people, we don't give them any special respect. If someone comes, if the mayor of Bangalore comes here, very unlikely, just we'll give him respect. Yata yogya, yatochit. The words are there. How do you translate that in English? Yata yogya. Suitable. We give suitable, according to their position, respect. So, according to the position, how do we judge that? Well, we judge by what Krishna teaches. And Krishna teaches, mad bhakta puja vyadika. Devotees should be glorified. So you're all glorious. But as soon as we think I am glorious, then we become inglorious. The word inglorious in English doesn't mean only not glorious, but it means the opposite of glorious. Shameful. And we can consider what is our position, that we're, at least we should see other Vaishnavas as great personalities and see, what is my position? Anadi karamafale, pari bhavarnava jale, taribari nataki upai. I've fallen in this ocean of material existence since time immemorial, with no means to get out. So by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I was lifted up. Otherwise, I'd be going to work, getting harassed by my boss. And now I sit on a big seat and others respect. Well, they should do. But one shouldn't think that Yes, they are respecting me properly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what a great Vaishnava. Why do we worship the Vaishnavas? Because just like the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are immeasurable, so the glories of devotees, we can say devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but devotees on that level, they all have their own unique glories, and it's immeasurable. They're so great. But he sings, and he feels like that. He teaches us. Amito Vaishnav, e buddhi hoile, amani na hobo ami. He says, if I think I am a Vaishnava, then I won't have the basic prerequisite to be a Vaishnava, which means to be not proud or to be humble. So it's very dangerous. On the one hand, we are to worship the Vaishnavas. On the other hand, those who are accepting the worship, we really have to be transparent mediums for the mercy of Krishna. We be respected because we're speaking the message of Krishna. At the same time, we have to remember that it's only because I'm receiving the mercy of the Vaishnavas that I'm able to do this. And there are many cases, punar mushiko bhava, again become a mouse. The mouse came to the yogi, said, please help me. The cat is chasing me. What do you want? Become a cat. I want to become a cat. Okay. Majara bhava, become a cat. Then after some time, the cat comes and says, oh, can you help me? Now the dog is chasing me. What do you want? Then, I want to become a dog. So he said, Shvabhava, or Kukura Bhava, or Sharameya Bhava. There are different words in Sanskrit, maybe for different breeds. I don't think so. So become a dog. Okay. After some time again, he came to the yogi and said, now the tiger is chasing me. So what do you want? Become a tiger. He became a tiger. Then the tiger looked at the yogi with hungry eyes and said, oh, you want to eat me? Okay, become a mouse. Again, become a mouse. So you've seen Vaishnavas who are doing very great things in the service of Krishna. But then when they become intoxicated and think, I'm so great, then they're thrown to their previous position. Actually, not fully, because Krishna never forgets the service they've done. But that is a lesson which they can learn and we should learn, that we're living on the mercy of Krishna. Everyone's living on the mercy of Krishna. Albert Einstein's living, as long as he was in that body, he was living on the mercy of Krishna. Food, light, heat, air, by these our bodies live. All given by Krishna through his material nature. Any position we may have, it's all given by Krishna. I remember years ago that this Narasimha Rao became Prime Minister. When was that? More than 20 years ago, must be. Unexpected. He'd never expected in his life, because he was in Congress, and Congress means Gandhi. But there was Sanjay Gandhi was dead, and all of a sudden Rajiv Gandhi, who was expected to become the Prime Minister, but who had a tryst with fate at Sri Parambadur. So he became the Prime Minister. And he said that it's simply by the grace of God. So that was good. It's good he said that. Simply by the grace of God he got that. So everyone should think like that. Even in the Vedic culture, the great kings, how were they able to rule? They were dictators. How did the people accede to their rule? Because the king knew, ideally the king would know, I'm doing so as a representative of God. I have to administer his will within the world, which means not to exploit the citizens, but to act for their benefit, like a parent. When that consciousness was lost and the king started to exploit the citizens, then all over the world there was monarchy, but that got thrown out because the kings were not doing their job properly. They weren't acting on behalf of God. In the same way, increasingly in India, there is rejection. And all over the world, there is rejection of religious authority. In the country I was born in this time, it's been rejected for so long that it was practically not there at all. That people don't care for religion or priests or any such thing in England. In Ireland, where the half of my blood comes from, you could say. My mother was from Ireland. Then there was great respect for the priests of the Catholic Church. They had great power over the local people, rejected because of so many scandals came out about the Catholic Church. That was a catalyst. They actually just wanted to get on with enjoying their senses like everyone else, but rejecting the Catholic Church gave them grounds to do so. So here in India we've seen in the last few years there have been so many big-time gurus have been exposed as rascals and cheaters And so we shouldn't reject the concept or the understanding that we have to worship the saintly people. But at the same time, having taken that role, we have to be very, very careful to keep our position. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he, following all the great acharyas in the past, he gave the program. He rise early, attend Mangalarti, chant 16 rounds, study the books, keep on the straight path. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. Durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. That's from the Upanishads. They warn us that the path of spiritual life is sharp like a razor's edge. It's a difficult path. Say the kavayo, the learned people, they know. It's, in one sense, Krishna consciousness is very easy. It's not at all difficult to chant Hare Krishna. It is for some people because they're so envious of Krishna. The name Krishna won't come to their tongue, but physically it's easy to do. It's physically very easy to take prasadam. Right? We don't find many people have a lot of difficulty with that. So it's an easy process. In fact, we even, prasadam is so important that we even keep devotees for arranging the prasadam, right? It's so important that everyone gets prasadam. So it's an easy process, but it's difficult because inasmuch as the tendency to fall into sense gratification, into gross sense gratification is very strong. And sometimes I think about these gurus in India who are exposed as being cheaters. They might not have started out like that. As we see in our ISKCON also, they might not have said some of the gurus whose name has become tarnished. They may not have started out like that, but when you get that position of power and worship and wealth and women, and it can be intoxicating, and then you lose your moorings, and therefore you lose your moorings. You know what that means? It means lose the path. So it's very important to follow the basic principles, keep association of devotees, always know that I have a very responsible duty to discharge all this respect is given to me. The materialists, they have to work very hard to get respect, huh? Isn't it? To get up in the office, you have to really work hard to get in a higher position. And devotees just join, and after a few weeks they're preaching and this and that. And they should be respected, but at the same time, individually, we have to be very, very careful. Those who come to Krishna consciousness, we understand, it's the mercy of the Vaishnavas, but mostly those who accept the mercy of the Vaishnavas are those who had some touch with Krishna consciousness previously. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. People who are Yoga Brashto, it means they were trying to become spiritually advanced in a previous life, but they messed up, or they didn't complete the path. And then they get born in a favorable position, such as in a family of very pious brahmanas or wealthy vaishyas. And in we can see almost up to the present time that the vaishya families in India, many of them, they're still quite pious. They have that tendency, and often Vaishnava also. Here in this area, they're mostly devotees of Venkateshvara, they're Vaishnavas also. So that's a good opportunity to be born in such a family. But if someone thinks, oh, I must have been a devotee in my past life, instead of thinking I'm so great, you think, oh, I messed up my opportunity in the last life, let me not do it again.
let me not take birth again. Let me do whatever is required in this life so that I don't get born again. Yesterday afternoon I gave a small talk and I mentioned I was speaking to my godbrother Shyamasundar Prabhu, who's here in Bangalore. So several times he told me that by astrology he ascertained that he was on the spiritual path in the last life, but then he made some offense to his guru, so he had to come back. So he said, he's very fixed. I have to stick to my guru and stick to the path and not make the same mistake. So we've all made a mistake to be here in the material world. We've all made the very good decision to come to the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. We're very fortunate to be in that situation. But we have to be very careful not to overestimate ourselves. Others may exalt us. That may be their duty. But we should not. We should always. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada, what he did was unimagined, unprecedented, unimitable. Nabhuto nabhavishyati. It was never done in the past and it can never be done again in the future, because once someone's been the first person to bring Krishna consciousness all over the world, you can't again be the first person to do so. But he would always say, my only credit is that I simply tried to please my spiritual master. It's all his mercy, isn't it? How many times Srila Prabhupada said that? If there is any credit in this regard, it must go to my worshipable spiritual master. Again and again and again. Didn't claim credit for himself. So we're very, very fortunate. Yesterday, also saying how Srila Prabhupada came to the West among people who had absolutely no idea of Krishna consciousness. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And within a short time, he sent devotees to the other side of America, which is a long way. It's a 5-hour flight from New York to San Francisco. 5-6 hours. Which is, that's more than, what's the longest journey you could make in India? The Kanyakumari, there's no airport there. Kanyakumari to Arunachal Pradesh. So, you couldn't, in India, you couldn't be on a flight that long and still be in India. Or maybe you could go to the Andamans, but anyway, you get the point. It's a long way. And these are people completely new. Srila Prabhupada hadn't taught them many things. There was no shaving heads. Or, I think Kirtananda maybe had a dhoti, maybe no one else, no saris. And there's no bowing down to the guru. All these things came later. Very, very. But they were so much empowered by they got Krishna consciousness to such an extent from Srila Prabhupada. They were able to open up to do what he had done again in San Francisco. At least they made the start, and it wouldn't have gone unless Srila Prabhupada had come, and then he expanded it and refined it. But they were able, in that very neophyte stage, to bring others to Krishna consciousness. Just see the power of the pure devotees and how much mercy is coming to lift us up. Maybe in the Western countries we are more fortunate than the Indians, because you have in your culture Krishna consciousness. So if it wasn't Prabhupada, well, there's Raghavendra Swami is well known in this area, who is a great preacher and dispenser of Krishna consciousness. And then you have all the Dasakuta in the Madhva Sampradaya, Purandar Das and so many others. And then they're everywhere. The Tukaram is there in Maharashtra, and Potana Bhagavatam is there in the Andhra area, There's so many great devotees. This is a land of Krishna consciousness. But in the Western countries, all Prabhupada's mercy. He brought Krishna consciousness. So we may feel, that's maybe one cultural advantage we have over Indians, is that we knew nothing. So we're completely dependent on Srila Prabhupada's mercy. But actually, we all are. We can just consider how much mercy we're getting. For those of you who have joined the ashram and doing full-time service here, what mercy that is. I compare with what other you have to do. You know, you were full-time in the ashram and now you're almost full-time in the sangsar. Isn't it? There's a difference, isn't there?
75% in the ashram.
Is it? All right. Okay. 75% in the ashram, 35% outside. Good mathematics. Maybe there's a sandhya between the two also. Chanting Hare Krishna while you're outside. So, okay, sorry, I shouldn't make fun of you. Excuse me. So, what a mercy it is. Maybe saying, oh, I have to get up early. What a mercy to be able to get up every morning early. It's very difficult for devotees who are here in Bangalore. There must be several thousand initiate devotees. I doubt if even 5% of them get up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Once in Delhi a few years ago, there was a group of what we call congregational devotees. So I asked them, how many of you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? One hand went up. I said, he looked a little, are you retired? Yeah. When you're retired, you can do it. Otherwise, very difficult. The modern life, working late. So it's a great mercy. Even you may think, if I don't stay in the ashram, I can sleep late. But that's not an advantage. That's a disadvantage. So the mercy to be able to get up early every morning, 10 Mangalati, everything we do is chanting the holy names. Very, very great opportunity. But we may just take it for granted. There's that saying, mechanical devotional service. You just go through it like a machine. But no, it's every second of it is, if we take advantage, we can link with Krishna. Bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga vidhanartham, by the process of devotional service, we can link with Krishna. That's what it's meant for. We say Hare Krishna, that can completely link us with Krishna. As we have to put our mind into it. Savai mana Krishna padarevindayoho. Understand how everything, this process, everything we do can completely link us with Krishna by His mercy. Otherwise, we're cut off from Krishna's mercy. As Srila Prabhupada begins this purport of this verse, the conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. And we can reunite if we take the mercy, not become like a dead man or a stone and become numb and forget what mercy is there. So take the mercy and give the mercy. That's what these city preaching centers are meant for. Otherwise, there's no need to be in the city, actually. There are two things that the cities are good for. One is for preaching Krishna consciousness, and the other is for sense gratification. And if we're not preaching Krishna consciousness, there's no need to be in the city. Therefore, we have the farms. Go to the farm. Live among the devotees. Chant Hare Krishna. Farms are especially for grihasthas. So many things to say. Worship the Vaishnava. Sushu sho shadadhanasya vasudeva kata ruchihi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirta nishevanat O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this, please? Yeah. Those who are not preaching in the city should go to the farm. Yeah, well, that's a generalization. But it's a valid generalization.
Somebody may say that I'll work outside also in company and will preach also.
I'll work outside in a company and preach also. Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. But you can only preach a few hours a week. You're not allowed to preach at work, right? Mostly they won't allow that. So, one way of preaching is to demonstrate one's commitment to Krishna consciousness by going to the farms so that you can be 24 hours in the association of devotees. That's a kind of preaching in itself. Otherwise the suspicion is always there that, well, actually you actually like this city sense gratification life.
You said that there are a lot of great devotees in India because it's a land.
There are a lot of great devotees in India because it is a land of Krishna consciousness. I said it and it's a fact and it's in Shastra. Should we give the same respect as we give to our own Sampradaya Acharyas? Well, that one term I used, yatha yogya, according to eligibility, suitability, definitely we should give highest respect to the great Acharya, just like I mentioned the name Raghavendra Swami, great devotee, no doubt. Far greater than, at least I can say for myself, I can ever imagine to be. Definitely we should give all respect. We can give respect to all genuine sadhus, even non-Vaishnava, if they're actually practicing seriously. We may not accept their philosophy, but we accept that they're seriously practicing spiritual life.
The amount of dedication new people, they were in the early days of ISKCON.
In the early days of ISKCON, the level of dedication was very high.
Now we don't find even who are 20 years into Krishna consciousness, that much of dedication.
Now we don't find even those who are 20 years into Krishna consciousness have that level of dedication. Well, it's individual cases. There are devotees who are very dedicated even now. It's all an individual choice. But the mood was very strong at that time. Srila Prabhupada was personally there lighting a fire in everyone's heart. So everyone was burning in the fire of Sankirtan. But actually, there were many devotees who came and went also. Even among all of Srila Prabhupada's initiated disciples, many of them left even in Prabhupada's presence. I was initiated on Janmashtami in 1975. One of the devotees I was initiated with, he was living there in the temple. After his initiation ceremony, he was never seen or heard of again. As an example. Another I was initiated, well, that was Paradeya. Was he first, or maybe he was getting his Brahminical initiation at the same time? So, yeah, I don't see him that much, but he's been my friend throughout life, and he's still preaching Krishna consciousness. So there are different cases. And someone else was getting married at the same time, Narahari. And my initiation ceremony was clubbed with a wedding. So Narahari was marrying Gokularani, and they're still out there in Australia. She was from Australia, so they went back, and he's still there on the farm, as far as I know, last I heard of him. So some stayed and some didn't. Tribhuvanath. Not only do I speak about him, but so many devotees speak about him, because he was a very special devotee. But I won't get into that now. I was thinking I'd give some seminar sometime on great devotees of ISKCON, the great pioneers. But that could take thousands of lifetimes. Yeah. Tribhuvanath, yeah. So many, actually, so many. As I said yesterday, the devotees who may have gone away, but they'll say, oh, those are the best days of my life. Hare Krishna! All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Jai!
Jai, Srila Prabhupada.